The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome once again to Grace in Focus, a broadcast podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are very happy that you are joining us today as we continue our study in the book of Romans, Romans 8, 12 through 17. Catherine Wright and Ken Yates are going to be encouraging us today to walk by the Spirit. We have a choice to walk by the flesh and experience death, or to walk by the Spirit and experience life. And who are the sons of God in Romans 8? How do we reach the goal of maturity in Christ? Some great moments just ahead. Hope you'll stay tuned right after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org. We have hundreds of articles oriented to free grace right there on our website. You can re-listen to this podcast through our website. There's an opportunity for you to give to our ministry. And don't miss our magazine, published bi-monthly, six times a year, full-color magazine, great articles. It's free if you live in the lower 48 United States. And it also can be accessed free of charge through our website, faithalone.org. We'll be saying more about our website at the end of this broadcast, so stay tuned, faithalone.org. Now, here is today's discussion with Ken and Catherine.
And we're still in Romans chapter 8, and we told you last podcast that there's just so much in this chapter. We're trying to hit the highlights, and let me tell you, one of those highlights is verses 12 through 17. So much in here. First off, Paul starts off by saying, therefore, brethren. Who's he talking to? Believers or unbelievers?
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers.
Just kidding.
Unbelievers are brethren, yeah. Right. He goes, we... Notice he includes himself, are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So much nonsense in evangelical circles today that says if you're really saved, you walk by the Spirit. All believers love the Lord. All believers walk by the Spirit.
Automatic.
No believer is carnal.
No believer fails.
What a bunch of nonsense. It's just unbelievable. Paul says we have an obligation not to walk according to the flesh, but to walk according to the Spirit.
One of the things we've been saying throughout this series is that Romans is not talking about salvation from hell. But what's kind of odd is that the Calvinists will come to this passage, and at least some of them are going to say, oh yeah, now he's talking about living. You're going to live in the Spirit. So which one is it? Are we talking about how to be saved, or are we talking about Christian living? And they're going to say, oh, now we're talking about Christian living, but this Christian living is automatic. I thought we said that Romans was a salvation book. The Romans Road and all that stuff was about how to be saved. So is this about how to be saved? Well, here he's talking about how to live your life, Christian living. And that there's a choice here. So you just see a lot of the confusion that can come from that.
And there is nobody who comes without a bias beforehand and doesn't see that Paul says believers have an option.
Right.
You know, you
have a choice.
He says here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. As we've seen throughout, die here does not mean go to hell. In fact, Paul says in Romans chapter 7 that he died. Mm-hmm. That's when he was trying to live according to the flesh by the law. He died. But he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And as we've seen throughout here, what Paul means by that is that if you walk according to the inner man, Paul says in chapter 7, I agree with the inner man that the law is good. If I walk according to the inner man, the Spirit, who I am when I was born from above, I will live. Mm. Obviously, he's not talking about I will go to heaven. What he's talking about is I will experience life. I will avoid the wrath that sin brings into my life. And let me just say, I'm going to get on a soapbox here. I've already have. I'm just going to stay on it. It just drives me crazy that people in the evangelical world says that Christians are automatically going to do this.
Yeah.
And that living here means going to heaven. Then he says something here that has had a big impact in my life. In verse 14, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. He just said that we have a choice as believers to walk according to the flesh, and if we do, we're going to die. or we can walk according to the Spirit and we will live. And then Paul says this statement here in verse 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God.
So again, being led is the idea of walking. This is a process. This is not automatic. So there is conditions upon it. If you want to be a son, you need to be led.
That's right. This verse changed my life in a number of ways because as a young seminary student, I looked at verse 14 and it was obvious to me that Paul says we have a choice. Walk by the Spirit, you'll live. Okay, so I have a choice. But he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And this is why I'm on this soapbox, because everything I heard about that verse, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And when I'd get all the commentaries out, every commentary I got said the same thing, that all believers are sons of God. Mm-hmm. All believers are led by the Spirit. But Paul just said in the previous verse, we have a choice. I really struggled with that. Even looking at my own life, am I always led by the Spirit of God? Is that true? All believers walk by the Spirit. All believers are led by the Spirit. Of course, that's what everyone was telling me. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know what Paul meant by this. If all believers are led by the Spirit, then why does he tell us to do it? If it's automatic, mm-hmm. if this is true for everyone, then why? It just did not make any sense to me. And then when you get down to verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So Paul says that all believers are children of God, but only those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Now, is there a difference between being a son of God and being a child of God?
The word son, if I had a son, I don't, but if I had a son, no matter what happens, that's still my son. We would use that term to mean my child. They're synonymous in that way in the English, but in the Greek, they mean a little something different.
Yes, there are different Greek words here, and it's critical. Children is the Greek word techna, and son is weos. Why does Paul use a different word? When he's talking about those who are led by the Spirit, he says, they are sons, but all believers are children. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the Lord brought some great teachers of the Bible into my life as a young man, and they pointed out to me that, no, there is a difference between being a child of God and being a son of God. Mm-hmm. And it just changes everything here. And then it just all makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Paul says, if we're led by the Spirit, if we're led by the flesh as believers, we're going to experience death. If we're led by the Spirit, we're going to experience life. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And the sons of God there means mature, those who are grown. Mm-hmm. Remember in chapter 7, Paul talks about when he was a young believer, he walked according to the flesh and he died. As a mature believer, he's walking according to the Spirit and is going to experience life, and he's a son. I guess in these English words, maybe a better way to say it is all believers are infants, mm-hmm. babies.
Offspring, maybe.
Yeah, too. Offspring of God. Mm-hmm. But the one who's grown up is the one who walks according to the Spirit, the one who realizes that the Christian life is not lived by legalism, by the law, mm-hmm. by the flesh, but it is one who has matured and walks by the Spirit.
Another example of this word being used is in the Beatitudes. The Lord uses it when he talks about the peacemakers. Peacemakers will be called the sons of God. And so first of all, do I have to be a peacemaker in order to be saved from hell, to be a peaceful person in order to receive eternal life? And we would say, no, that would be conditional works-based salvation, right? I have to do something in order to receive it. Whereas we know that eternal life is a free gift given to those who simply believe in him. And so what does it mean to be a son of God in that context? It means it's one that has matured. It takes maturity to be a peacemaker, doesn't it? I mean, to be humble. Again, we've talked about those kind of ideas of that inward transformation that can only be done through the Spirit. Well, the result of that is that you will be a son, you will be a mature believer. And so we see this term used in other passages as well.
And even though the Greek makes the distinction a little more clear, even in English, we use these phrases. For example, if you see an infant, oh, that's a cute baby. But when that baby grows up and that baby takes on the mannerisms of its father, we use the phrase, let's say the father's name is Bill. That's Bill's son.
Mm-hmm.
I see Bill in him. Well, you can tell that's Bill's son.
What's the expression, like father, like son?
Right.
That's not used to describe the fetus or the newborn. It's used to describe the grown child that now reflects their father.
And that's why when you talked about the peacemaker,
yes,
Christ came to establish peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5:1. So if you're a peacemaker, you're like him. People see him in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a son is.
But again, this cannot be done. You can't make yourself be a peaceful person by following a law. That can only be done by being led by the Spirit, by being transformed in his image through the power of the Spirit as you walk with him.
So the Spirit of Christ transforms us into his image.
So that we can have his mind.
And then we are the sons
of
God. We mature. We become like him. And it's obvious that's what Paul is talking about here. No one could look at this and say, no, first off, just in our experience, all believers don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul makes it very clear that we have the choice.
And it's also a process.
It's a process.
I think that's another thing. You know, the Calvinist is going to say this is automatic. It leaves absolutely no room for growth or failure.
And he talks about walking.
Yeah.
And that is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we hope this is challenging you in your views of Romans. And remember, keep grace in focus.
Bob Wilkins' book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, is available right now at 50% discount to Grace and Focus listeners at faithalone.org. Get half price through May 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word REPENT. That's at faithalone.org. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, we will return to our Q&A format with Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling as they answer a question from Acts 13:48. And I hope you'll join us for it next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.